Okay. So you can't blame Priscilla now when she pushes buttons and she's learning it from her father.
Now I can't blame her. She's too far away from the laptop.
How is everybody there?
Well, everybody here quite well and blessed of the Lord. Those the Lord.
Well, I'm thankful. We just finished our first meeting in French with some of our brethren. There were about five of us that were on Skype, and then I don't know how many others listening online. So
that was big number of those who were there to listen in French.
Yes.
And prayerfully, the Lord provided Himself the inroads of those who speak in French.
Yes.
And I'm very grateful to the Lord. When I heard about this, when you wrote, I was so grateful to the Lord. I said, "Sure."
Yeah.
May His will be done.
Yes. Well, it's all in His time, and the Lord blessed. We had a good first meeting, I believe. Anyway, if I start talking to you in French, it's just because I'm old and getting confused.
I can imagine, yeah. Yeah, but Pastor Ken.
Yes.
You speak very fluent French. Isn't it because you spent some time there, or it's part of the language that you speak over there in Louisiana?
No, not. Well, South Louisiana has a French culture, but it's a different type of French. It's a mixed Cajun French. All of the work in Africa when I was there as a missionary, I did in French. So, you know, it was necessary to learn it. And, it's like riding a bicycle. You never forget.
Yes.
Even if you haven't ridden one in a while, you might be a little shaky when you first get back on it. But, you know, you never forget how to ride a bicycle. And French is a second language. I'm certainly not perfect at all in it. I'm always trying to perfect my ability of speaking and reading and vocabulary, but you learn that by speaking it. I remember when we first went to Canada in 1979, I had been exposed to French growing up in school and then having grown up in Chad, Africa, but my wife had not. She just had some classes in French in high school. So when we went to Canada, she went to school all day to learn French. And I took care of our daughter, Alyssa. And then when she'd come home from school, then I went to evening school. But because Canada, Quebec is bilingual, many of them, when they saw I was struggling in French, they'd want to talk in English. And I'd have to ask them, no, go back to French because I need to learn it. And so I immersed myself in the newspaper. I didn't read any English newspapers. I only listened to French broadcasts on TV and radio. And I tried to converse with people. If I were to go to Malawi and live there, then you would see me out every day practicing to speak, Chichua. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just like English, as bad as, you know, the history of colonization and how the English conquered the world. Same with the French, Portuguese. Yet, God in His sovereignty has used it to give us a common language. Because between English and French, probably I could get by in 80% of the countries in Africa or, you know, in the world. But, you know, the Lord, I believe the Lord's using it to cause the gospel, even today, to be preached. I don't know how many different dialects and languages there are in Malawi, but I know in Chad, there are over 250. In Ivory Coast, over 90. So, you know, if it weren't for French and educating the students in school in French, et cetera, it would be difficult. But the Lord uses it for His glory.
That is an added heavy responsibility the Lord has put up. major preaching activities that you already have. Now you need to look into a French Bible.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. I can imagine how heavy it will be after reading and looking how the tight schedule you have in coming up with all these things. May the Lord just give you strength and wisdom and courage in all these areas.
Yes, yeah.
We are with you.
I appreciate your prayers, for sure.
Exactly.
It's the gospel, and that alone is the greatest burden, to glorify Christ alone. Yeah. Danielle was on the earlier meeting, and she said to tell everybody hello. She had to get up early, so maybe she's gone back to take a nap now. I don't know.
We love her, we pray for her, we pray for these sisters who have committed themselves to the service of the Lord. We remember our sister Pat, and she's to us a great gift in the kingdom of God for the work she's doing.
Yes, she's recording everything now, even as we have these, and then making sure they get up online, and you're right. The Lord has his different ones doing what they should to his glory, and I'm thankful. Couldn't do it alone.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much. But how are things in Louisiana now?
Well, we've had some milder weather, which is good. It has been very, very dry. The Lord sent some rain. So from the standpoint of weather, you know, it's better than we deserve. It's a beautiful day here today. No rain, but pleasant. Everything else, you know, our main concern as there is that the gospel be preached, and I'm thankful for the freedom, in spite of all the politics, the freedom that the Lord continues to give for us to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a heavy task unless the Lord is with. Otherwise, when you are preaching a gospel which is not popular in your area, not even in agreement with the heathens, non-believers, and not let alone even the believers, they don't agree what you are preaching. Then you have got, like you were teaching last week, you have got lots of opposition, not only from outside the world, but even inside the religious world.
Yes.
And the topic we had yesterday, just confirmed this great task, because sometimes we, in the religion, we used to believe that opposition will come from the non-believers.
Yeah.
And every time you meet some believers, you will easily say, you know what, we are one, okay, we are all preaching the gospel, you know, as a church, we must be united. And there is that type of force unity in the religious world. But when you are preaching a gospel, like the gospel of Christ as it is revealed in the scriptures, you find that even those you thought were friends, they were not, and they are not even friends at all.
Yes. No, that is so true. The crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ was not plotted or planned in the streets. It was in the synagogues. It was in the Sanhedrin. It was by the religious leaders of the day. And Paul, right in the Philippians, spoke of that how he told them, even with weeping, is the word he used, that there were enemies of the cross. You know, you can get along as long as you just kind of mollify people with talk, general talk about God, even Christ, grace. They use those terms. But the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes the difference. That's the litmus test. If you want to know where a man or a woman stands or falls with regard to God in Christ, talk about, and I always say, those five questions are so vital and easy to ask. Who died, and why did he die, and for whom he died, and what his death accomplished when he died, and where is he now? You know, that's where the divide comes. And when I read scripture, even what we're going to be studying here in Acts 4, when when they hauled Peter and John in before the Sanhedrin and asked them by whose name that man stood whole before them. You know, Peter was a Jew, and I'm giving away a little bit of my message, but he could have said, well, by the name of Jehovah, God, this man stands whole before you, and he wouldn't have made any enemies. But when you read in verse 10, his answer, this is what I'm talking about. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. So he's saying, go carry this wherever you want to back in your little synagogues, that by the name of Jesus Christ, and then he says of Nazareth, he was being very precise, that hated name. And then he adds, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And he said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. So he's quoting Old Testament scripture and saying to them, you fulfilled it in your denial of Christ. What the scripture said would happen, happened. But he says, which has become the head of the corner. And then he clearly says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. See, people like to talk about Jesus, but he was very specific. This Christ of Nazareth that was crucified and risen again by none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But that's the difference. If we'll stick to this, which we should, it's going to sort it all out. The wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats. We don't have to get into a lot of debates.
It's
who he is and what he accomplished and for whom he did it, why he did it, and where he is now.
Thank you. I better stop there so that you don't preempt the entire message of today.
Hey, you know, when you the cook... when they prepare, like your wife in the kitchen, she's allowed to eat the food and let other people taste it ahead of time. So that's all I did.
That's what she likes doing. Every time she's cooking a better meal there,
yeah,
she invites people to the kitchen and at least have a piece of food.
She would,
made and tasted.
There you go.
So
let you,
she has taught me to like kitchen more than any other place. Every time she's cooking, she makes sure that she has at least one, two pieces for me to taste. Now
that,
and when the food is ready, I already know what I'm going to do.
There you go. That builds your appetite. That's right. So.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
God bless you. It's talking to you. Brothers are just listening with me. We are going to start the service. It's 20 minutes, 22 minutes past 3 o'clock in Malawi. And as we know, Brother Kenny has already been online since about... almost about 3-4 hours ago. He was just started the program in French with our friends and brothers in Ivory Coast. So with effect from now, as he has already written to all of us, he has given us the information that there will be a program now from in Malawi. It will be from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. That will be in French with our friends and brothers in Abu Ivory Coast. Now, as he phoning us right now, he's just signing off from the French preaching, now coming into English preaching with us. So it will be almost over 5 hours. Every Saturday will be, and tomorrow he has programs on the radios, and at the same time you also have to preach during church service and others. So we just need to be praying for him, because you have, and he has got so many things, so many time to be preaching. So we don't want to keep him talking. Otherwise, you will be talking to us some French, and he might miss. All right. We start our service, and we are going to sing number 58 in our books. Number 58 in our hymn books. Rosa, Mungatuza, 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 Yeah, we are going to sing number 58 in our hymn book. It's about 112. This song is talking about the "Yes, my Lord, to thee I cry. Unless thou help me, I must die. Oh, bring thy free salvation nigh, and take me as I am. Helpless I am, and full of guilty. But yet for me, thy blood was spilled, and thou canst make me what thou wilt, and take me as I am. No preparation can I make. My best resolves I only break. Yet save me from for thine own name's sake, and take me as I am. Behold me, Savior, at thy deal with me as thou sayest me. Thou work begin, thy work complete, but take me as I am." One of the things we ourselves here spent time, energy, even resources for many years was to work for our redeemer, work for our salvation, to work for heaven. Every time you expect to do certain things so that the heavens will accept you. But when the message of hope, the message of Christ, the message of Christ was revealed to us, when it pleased God, we don't see works taking anybody to heaven. We don't see works taking any other person, even those who are emphasizing the points of doing the works more they can do. But let me tell you, not even one single soul will be brought before the living, almighty God because of what one did. It is by grace of God. So it's Christ alone and Jesus Christ alone. So let's sing this song. Oh, nah. I'm helpless. I may be somebody doing certain things. Maybe I can travel, I can walk, I can do anything, other things like that. But when it comes to salvation, take me as I am. Take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. If there is any mercy, if there is any hope, if there is any expectation of eternal life somewhere with my God, it's because Jesus Christ paid the debt and declared me righteous and made me who I am today. My works, if you follow what these stanzas have been saying, helpless I am and full of guilt, you know, some of these things, you know what? But yet, for me, thy blood was spilled. And thou canst make me what thou wilt, and take me just as I am, just as I am. Because I cannot afford to take any sinful thing that is in me and think that I am now right before God. There is not, because I don't know what sin is.
That's right.
No perfection can I make, not even one. My best resolves, the things I know that I do best, whether it's works, prayers, memorizing of scripture verses, maybe accomplishment in the Bibles, whatsoever resolves I can do, I only break. Yet save me for thine own name's sake. For thine own name's sake, take me as I am. Behold me, Savior, at thy feet. Deal with me as thou sayest me. Thy work begin. Thy work complete, but take me as I am. Bedoya Musa Lege Sojitani Dizibele Gale Lodi Ladi. Precious Heavenly Father, it is thy son's death on the Calvary. It is his blood, pains, suffering. It is thy will and thy election that you decided my name to be listed among the names of those Christ who come to save. It's not what we tried to do, how much prayers we prayed, how big long times of prayers, anything that traditionally I was taught to do, as the world has been deceived in doing so, going over the world, making people believing what they think is salvation. We have heard so many times repeated prayers of salvation, prayers of repentance, but there was no hope until Christ of the scriptures finally came and found us, found me, where in the world of religion, covered, loaded with so many responsibilities, and questions without answer, education, and even yearning to do more and more and more and more, but without reaching the target. Every time someone preached, we could not even be sure whether I am there. Every time we did not believe, and we kept on doubting whether salvation was complete or not. And it was tiresome to work for salvation. And it is so tiresome to wait for salvation until we found the resting place in Christ Jesus. He who came to be a savior of a sinful man, such as I am, such as we have gathered in Malawi, such as we are, all those who are listening right now, online over the world, whom you have redeemed with your power and wisdom and knowledge as it has pleased you, O God. They did not do any better thing in them, nothing in us. For our righteousness are nothing in the presence of the Holy Mighty God. It is thy will and thy power and thy grace alone that, Father, we stand before you righteous, not with our own righteousness, but the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, as we have come together, assembled in Malawi in a house such as this. Father, we ask you to preach, to speak to us through Brother Ken as you'll be ministering from the book of Acts chapter 4. We pray for him, Lord, as you give him strength and courage, and even inspire him, not only as he preaches to Malawi, but even to our friends in Ivory Coast and even in Louisiana, and those who hear him every Sunday as he preaches. Father, may thy grace be upon him. Give him, Father Lord, more from above, that he will speak forth the word. In Jesus' name, that Father, we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Kane, may God bless you. Take over from there.
Thank you.